from daddy's old LGO. And I lost my mind somewhere in New Mexico. And T.W. put a snake on my back. I keep a red bone on my side.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Monday, August 6, 2018 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. And a wild ride it is, to be sure, wilder than most people realize. There's just no shortage of weird stuff going on. Nerds have had their revenge. Technocrats have seize control of pretty much all things, all systems. but they are largely puppets themselves, except for controllers. It's interesting, the more you read, the more it seems that people, even at the highest levels, are compartmentalized oftentimes. You know, C. Wright Mills pointed that out. It's hard to, and C. Wright Mills, Power Elite, and that was a sentiment that C. Wright Mills basically echoed, that Edward Bernays mentioned in chapter one of Propaganda back in 1928, when he wrote, "Our invisible governors are in many cases unaware of the identity of their fellow members in the inner cabinet." I would say it's a little bit different than that, but there is definitely a compartmentalization. You see that, for example, at the highest levels of power, you know, in Ralph Epperson's book, The Unseen Hand, toward the middle of the book, he tells the story of James Forrestal. I forget what chapter that was. Is it 26 or 27? Somewhere around there. Chapter 27, The Exposers. The strange events of World War II had predictable effects among certain of the American people. Some saw them as being the machinations of those who actually wanted Russia to win the World War. Actually, what we came to discover from the Reese Committee hearings, and specifically Rowan Gaither's intimation to Norman Dodd, the director of research for the Reese Committee. I remember H. Rowan Gaither, Horace Rowan Gaither Jr.'s intimation. You know, we operate here at the Ford Foundation on directives which issue from the White House, the substance of which is to so alter life in America as to create a comfortable merger between the United States and the Soviet Union. So said Rowan Gaither, Horace Rowan Gaither Jr., as the newly minted Ford Foundation president to Norman Dodd, the director of research for the Reese Committee. At least, you know, that's according to Norman Dodd. That was his account. So that was a point that he intimated to G. Edward Griffin back in the 80s. You can still find the video of that floating around on YouTube. So anyway, continuing from Ralph Epperson's The Unseen Hand, there were at least three individuals who, in positions of power and hence in a position to expose the true reasons behind these events, attempted to do so. People say, why doesn't someone do something? Lots of people have. Look at the Arkanside list, for example, as just one. Or go back, how many people have looked lately at the number of people who have met with an untimely and suspicious demise connected to the assassination of President Kennedy? And we forget about these things. History is, you know, written by the victors, and therefore the conspiratorial elements, if you will, get erased, get occluded over time, get overshadowed by the victor's narrative, basically. So the first of these, Ralph writes, was Frank Murphy, Supreme Court Justice at the time of his discovery. He had been appointed by President Roosevelt as Attorney General in 1938 and later to a vacancy on the Supreme Court. He once had an occasion to meet with Congressman Martin Dies, the chairman of the House Committee on Un-American Activities. Speaking of, Murphy told Dies, quote, we're doomed. The United States is doomed. The communists have control completely. They've got control of Roosevelt and his wife as well. And as interesting as a parenthetical aside, you start digging into this and you read what Anthony Sutton wrote, or you read John Spivak's account of the Dickstein Committee and the suppression of testimony, redacted, suppressed testimony by Smedley Butler. And we get this sort of misdirection, basically. I want to call it a bifurcation fallacy, but it's not that. We get this misdirection, this sort of false narrative. It was either – and I say bifurcation fallacy because we get this narrative that it was either the business plot as we formally know it. You know, there was going to be a coup led by Smedley Butler, or it didn't happen. It was unsuccessful. And I disagree with that. I think that there was a coup. I think it was accomplished to whatever degree. And we see evidence of that. You know, the fascists on the which dime is it? I forget. The Mercury or the Wheat dime? I forget. Anyway, so we see the fascists on the dime. We see the fascists behind Congress. Those are some telltale signs, I would say. It's kind of curious and conspicuous that suddenly we find, especially in a post-World War era, we find the monikers of a, you know, the axis of evil, basically, in the halls of Congress. That's strange. In an era when you would think that would be the last thing on earth you would do is adopt. It's almost like it would be the same thing as having a swastika behind Congress. It'd be odd timing. And people say, oh, no. The little whatever you call them, the swishers, the catchers or whatever, and the spinny sort of, you know, context are – they're going the other way. So, you know, it's the Indian hopeful, you know, good karma sort of idea. It doesn't matter. It's still strange. So it's strange to have the fascists in the back of Congress and to have them implemented in a, you know, a World War II era is particularly odd. Particularly hair-raising, if you will. So you go back and you look at what, you know, Anthony Sutton – doing the research that Anthony Sutton did, he was very matter of fact. You know, Wall Street is funding both sides of the war. That's just a fact. Look at who you know, for example, you know, the way that he describes Trotsky, for example, and where he came from and how he managed to come to power just sort of miraculously by, you know, what sort of circuitous route. And knowing the kinds of things that Anthony Sutton knew to be fact, one would come to the same conclusion. It's a very matter-of-fact conclusion and point that Wall Street was funding all of that. You know, again, something that Ralph Epperson did a good job of including and including some of Anthony Sutton's work. The fact that, you know, it's interesting coming forward, that, not to get too far off track, but coming forward to today, you know, we're still hearing echoes of and a reboot of the Cold War rhetoric. And again, if you read Anthony Sutton and you read what I would call the abridgment of Sutton in books like Ralph Epperson's The Unseen Hand, then it's shocking to realize that the same forces were making sure that there was a sort of parity to foment concepts like the arms race. And much of this has been manufactured and fomented along the way. But I digress. So continuing, Frank Murphy once had occasion to meet with Congressman Martin Dies, chairman of the House Committee on Un-American Activities. Murphy told Dies, "We're doomed. United States is doomed. The communists have control completely. They've got control of Roosevelt and his wife as well." And again, speaking of John Spivak, he pointed out that international industrialists are working for control, and these sorts of isms, communism, socialism, crony capitalism, or Fordism. These things all are very useful. Communitarianism now, which is a sort of hybrid of the aforementioned and more. But continuing, a few years later, 1949, Murphy went into a Detroit hospital and died from a heart attack just before he was scheduled to be released and recovered. Congressman Dyes was convinced that he had been murdered. The second individual who apparently figured it out was James Forstall, America's first Secretary of Defense. Remember, you know, like a new 9/11. Remember when or like a new Pearl Harbor, excuse me. Remember from the PNAC document, Rebuilding America's Defenses, curiously published shortly before 9/11, and basically calling for a new Pearl Harbor, some catastrophic and catalyzing event like a new Pearl Harbor. Well, Pearl Harbor was a false flag event. Essentially, it was fomented. Again, speaking of Ralph Epperson, one can go to Ralph Epperson's website right now, ralphepperson.com, and you will see at the top of the page, as he's had for over 10 years now, I don't remember, I think back in 2008, 7 and 8, talking about that, how forever he's had at the top of his website, the front page of the Hilo Tribune Herald, Hilo, Hawaii, Sunday, November 30th, 1941, the front page above the fold headline reads, Japan may strike over weekend. Well, yeah, it was, you know, December 7th. Oh, no, that was the week before. This is the weekend before. Japan may strike over weekend, Sunday, November 30th, 1941. How did they know? Japan did strike the following weekend. And if you've been to Ford Island in Pearl Harbor, you see that even a grade school kid would see that the way that the ships were moored in harbor around a little tiny island, the way that the planes were all pointed in toward one another, especially if this was something that was in view. The Hilo Tribune Herald knew. You would have to wonder what was going through people's minds. And so the more you dig into the facts, the more you realize it doesn't add up. The only conclusion you can come to is basically what Patrick Claussen tells us. You remember back in 2012 when Patrick Claussen said, yeah, you know, if we can't goad Iran if we can't provoke them into conflict, well, then maybe, you know, we should get to a war the traditional way America gets to war. The traditional way America gets to war is what would be best for us. Some people might think Mr. Roosevelt wanted to get us into World War II. As David mentioned, you may recall, he had to wait for Pearl Harbor. That's what Patrick Claussen said back in 2012. The foreign policy expert, Patrick Claussen, director of research and head of the Iran Security Initiative at the Institute. So basically, you know, we provoke some sort of basically a false flag event. And he went through, you know, a number of those sorts of things. Johnson and Vietnam, Gulf of Tonkin, the Spanish War in the Maine, Lincoln and Fort Sumter, and you know, circling back to Iran, if the sanctions aren't working and all of the other pressure, you know, the CIA sort of pressure, well, then maybe we can either provoke them into some sort of not really false flag, but some anticipated aggression. And then, of course, we respond because we have a responsibility to protect. So this, again, is the operative concept is P2OG. And you can find that on Wikipedia, Proactive Preemptive Operations Group. P2OG stands for Proactive Preemptive Operations Group, a U.S. intelligence agency that would employ black world or black operations tactics. This was basically a post 9/11 concoction that essentially became what I would call a formal edict for JSOC and partners, CIA, etc. JSOC is a sort of tip of the spear, but the way the story goes from the Wikipedia entry, the Defense Science Board, DSB, conducted a 2002 DSB summer study on special operations and joint forces in support of countering terrorism. Excerpts from that study dated August 16, 2002 recommend the creation of a super intelligence support activity. A super intelligence support activity. And an organization it dubs the Proactive Preemptive Operations Group, P2OG, to bring together CIA and military covert action, information warfare, intelligence, and cover and deception. So basically what is it's interesting, you know, irregular warfare is sort of the operative concept. What is irregular warfare? Well, it's just war. War is irregular. It's based, you know, Sun Tzu, all war is based on deception. So the dirtiest, basically setting aside all internationally recognized conventions and all that kind of, you know, all's fair in love and war kind of stuff, but not in a romanticized sort of way, in a very dirty and evil sort of way. That's what irregular warfare is. Anyway, Proactive Preemptive Operations Group. For example, the Wikipedia entry reads, the Pentagon and CIA would work together to increase human intelligence, forward operational presence, and deploy new clandestine technical capabilities. Concerning the tactics P2OG would use, yeah, what tactics? And this is a quote, among other things, this body would launch secret operations aimed at stimulating reactions, quote unquote, among terrorists. Well, let's define terms. And states possessing weapons of mass destruction. Is that the United States Incorporated? That is, for instance, prodding terrorist cells into action and exposing themselves to quick response attacks by U.S. forces. Quick response, quote unquote. Such tactics would hold states, sub-state actors accountable and signal to harboring states that their sovereignty will be at risk. The briefing paper declares. So basically, someone is a decider and the others are not. It's interesting. Today's Daily Signal sort of focuses on the UN, circling back to Nikki Haley's remarks about the UN and exiting the Human Rights Council. And again, it's all misdirection. You know, we seem to have a curious lack of self-awareness, so to speak. In America when it comes to foreign policy discussion, for example. Curious lack of self-awareness. I think Noam Chomsky is right. America is the greatest terrorist and terrorist maker around the world. There's really no disputing that. The only caveat to that might be the nuanced clarification that America or the United States military-industrial complex – more properly, is essentially a proxy. And again, you could sort of see that in some of the echoes from the today's Daily Signal. I want to just finish with the R2P stuff, but the R2P side of the P P2OG meets R2P coin. Let's see. Before I do that, yeah. Today's daily signal, where was it? You get this sense, you know, the Israel Islam thing. I think it was, this was the commentary from today's Daily Signal email over at Heritage. And of course, you know, I mention Heritage and the Daily Signal sometimes, and let's not forget the CNP connections there. I don't, even when I mention Heritage. So anyway, UN leaders are anti-America and anti-Israel, David Gerhardt says. They support Islamist expansion into the rest of the world. That was one of the remarks. So that's a telling remark. It's David Gerhardt, you are closer to the fire than you probably realize. And what I mean is, you know, Pike's letter to Mazzini. When you listen to remarks like David Gerhardt's remark here, and you start to see that in the headlines, no matter where you go, no matter what mainstream press outlet it is, whether it's CNN, New York Times, Washington Post over here, or it's Press TV, or Al Jazeera, or RT, or is it Xinhua? I forget. Anyway, whatever it is, wherever it is, you get the same specious conflict, basically. You'll hear that, those forces being collided together all around the world from different vantage points, different perspectives. You know, Israel is a victim is the Western narrative, and Russia is sort of behind the wait, not so fast. One of the big players behind the other side of that narrative. And, you know, we hear about Iran and Venezuela and so on and so on. As David Bowman put it in his remarks in the commentary, the People's Republic of last Wednesday, which is interesting. We hear this conflict everywhere all the time, which is a curious reminder of Pike's letter to Mazzini back in 1871. How did they know? I mean, you think about it. There was no, you know, there was Wahhabism since before the days of the Barbary pirates. But how did they know that there would be this massive construct of political Zionism, and that it could be collided against this largely Wahhabist, Salafist, Deobandist construct of political Islam? Was that just magical, mysterious coincidence? I don't think so. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce. Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Many people write about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. My wife and I both use Extendivite and are very pleased with the results. It has helped to stabilize our blood pressure and to make both of us feel healthier. Good product and goodbye. So far, so good. I've been taking Extendivite 3 times a day, only a short while now, but already I've noticed the circulation in my hands and feet improving. They tingle. I like the idea of taking something herbal rather than pills. I take Extendivite 3 times a day every day. I think this supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hi, folks. CBD is the home run hitter for health right now. Why, you ask? Because of what it does for the body. Unfortunately, I can't tell you all about the benefit. You know, there's reasons. Do your due diligence and log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. Ancient Life Oil uses organic ingredients and is blended in coconut oil for some of the best benefits. Legal in 50 states and non-psychoactive. Log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com.
Do you worry a lot? Whether you're a college student, busy professional, parent, or grandparent, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in 1 to 2 weeks. Call 1-800-758-8746 or calmandclever.com.
Welcome back. I don't want to get too far afield here, but bottom of the first hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast, this Monday, August 6, 2018. But I do want to just sort of conclude on this note before I do get too far afield. Speaking of Pike's letter, the most prophetic letter that was never written, or at least that's what, you know, people would CFR funded historians today would find it laughable. Oh, you believe that Albert Pike wrote a letter to Giuseppe Mazzini back in August of 1871 and that he outlined 3 world wars and it's laughable. Well, maybe it's laughable. But the first acknowledgement of the letter that we have publicly is Cardinal Rodriguez back in the 20s. I believe it was 1925. On the heels of World War I, so Pike allegedly wrote a letter outlining 3 world wars. And on the, you know, after World War I, obviously we have an acknowledgement. There were, you know, World War II hadn't been fomented entirely yet. It was being fomented, but hadn't come to fruition yet. And, of course, World War III being fomented by colliding the forces of political Zionism and political Islam together, that had not come to fruition yet. And this was also before the official creation of Saudi Arabia and, British Saudi Arabia and British Israel. These two instrumental forces to collide together to foment the Third World War. So isn't it curious? Only one of those things, only one of the world wars, and there are a lot of other little subtleties and nuances that we could get into, but just those basic pieces of the on the chessboard for the World War III aspect of the letter in particular, those had not been created. Saudi Arabia, the British-Israel counterfeit. I mean, it's just incredible. Read your Bible, people. What was created over a period of several decades with considerable effort on the parts of powerful and influential people was not magically created in a day. It does not correlate to biblical prophecy unless to the deception, as I said last week. That's just a fact. Find me evidence to the contrary that was not cooked up in some Talmudic, Kabbalist, Sabbatean, Frankist, so-called pulpit. Find something the Holy Spirit, that was impressed upon your heart and mind by the Holy Spirit, that you in secret time, no one knows about, you were reading or whatever, praying about this in earnest, and the Holy Spirit imparted this wisdom to you, and it corresponds to these passages, and therefore clearly it doesn't exist. You come to this and you say, clearly because of this, what I believe was divinely inspired revelation and wisdom on the subject, here is the evidence. It doesn't exist. If it did, it would be well documented by now, and all we have is intrigue and deception, misrepresentation of passages, and we know that the devil is masterful at that because he did that to try to do that to Jesus in the wilderness in Matthew 4, right? Among other places. And so, no one's better at quoting the Bible than the devil, quoting Psalm 91, conveniently leaving out the vital context that followed in the next verse that was omitted. Isn't that a curious omission? So, Cardinal Rodriguez tells us there is a letter. Albert Pike wrote a letter to Giuseppe Mazzini. It's interesting. It outlines three world wars. That was after one of, the Great War had taken place. Nothing great about it. Second World War had not occurred, and this colliding of forces hadn't come fully into view, but it was shaping up. And again, we have echoes of that, harbingers, again, Alison Weir has reminded us about Dorothy Thompson, for example. What happened to Dorothy Thompson's career? A woman Time Magazine recognized as the second most influential woman in America, next to Eleanor Roosevelt. That was 1939. What happened? Did she commit professional suicide in her renouncing of Zionism? Because remember, on Wikipedia, you can see under the entry for Dorothy Thompson on Wikipedia under the section titled Fame and Controversy, these words: in 1941, Thompson wrote "Who Goes Nazi?" for Harper's Magazine. She was a keynote speaker at the Biltmore Conference and by war's end was regarded as one of the most effective spokespersons for Zionism. So because of that, she's paraded all around. Obviously, Thompson switched her views around radically after a trip to Palestine in 1945 and ran into difficulties, including accusations of anti-Semitism, which she strongly rebuffed after being warned that hostility toward Israel – this is 1945, so before that fateful day in 1948 after being warned that hostility toward Israel was, in the American press world, quote, almost a definition of professional suicide. And she eventually concluded that Zionism was a recipe for perpetual war. And if that is true, which I believe it is, then the CIA is the tip of the Zionist proxy spear. Is it not? Because the CIA foments conflict. I mean, really, what is the CIA's modus operandi, if not that? It has a long and storied history. Russia's trying to meddle in elections. Really? Remember, the CIA has been doing that for, well, since before its creation. My favorite article, as always, the U.S. is no stranger to interfering in the elections of other countries. Nina Agrawal, December 21, 2016. L.A. Times article. And she points to Dov Levin's research over at Carnegie Mellon University 81 times between 1946 and 2000. That doesn't even include the post 9/11 era. That doesn't even include the Arab Spring and so on and so on. 81 times in a half a century. That's pretty remarkable. And that's just what's acknowledged publicly. Think about that. Think about that. So we decide for the world in spite of the dirty, tarnished history that if we really acknowledge, if we really confront it, much of this is not good. I mean, pretty much all of it. Listen to what Smedley Butler said about what he was doing in creating banana republics, and for whom and for what. Watch James Corbett's How and Why Big Oil Conquered the World. And those are just two among many other installments of historical accuracy that should leave us feeling, at the very least, very humbled and outraged that are, you know, people are doing things in your name and my name around the world. America's reputation is growing more and more sullied. Many folks acknowledge that, you know, internationally, our reputation is growing more and more sullied. I'm not responsible for JSOC night raids and the P2OG efforts of JSOC and CIA or the FBI creating terrorists, like Trevor Aronson said in his TED Talk back in 2015. I'm not responsible for that, but the world sees these things happening. The folks that were not born here, that attend mosques where FBI informants are so obvious that, you know, it's so obvious that they're trying to find scapegoats and patsies, trying to set people up, that they literally get reported to the FBI. I'm not responsible for that. You're not. But the world sees that. And it has an effect, shall we say. So, I mean, last week I talked specifically about things that can be done. And we certainly need to begin reshaping our views and our behavior, our actions. Because again, Vance Packard, The Hidden Persuaders, chapter 19, The Engineered Yes, quoting Bernays, Newsworthy events involving people usually do not happen by accident. They are planned deliberately to accomplish a purpose. What purpose? To influence ideas and actions. I remember I've read the excerpt from The Hidden Persuaders about how that influence, how it works, the outworking of it philosophically. So, there are certain lines that we shouldn't cross. There are certain things that we shouldn't endorse. I was trying to think of the story. FBI informant who was reported to the FBI. I think it was Craig Monteith, if memory serves. Anyway, and there are a number of no shortage of strange stories. I think it was Craig Monteith. FBI, yeah. Alarmed. That was it. Alarm Moscowers turn FBI informant over to FBI. That's Price's headline. It was Craig Monteith, and that was Common Dreams back in 2010. Alarmed mosque goers turn FBI informant over to FBI. So, and, you know, then there was a political research article the year before, 2009, August, from movements to mosques, informants endanger democracy. Yeah, it's called COINTELPRO. If you can't conscript the insurgency, or it doesn't exist yet, well, then just create it. And there is a long history of this. Again, you know, from, and again, I'm far afield, but it's all sort of the same story. We should be wise to this now. From Ralph Epperson's The Unseen Hand, I think the images at the end of chapter 25, those little pictures with captions. Communist Betrayal, chapter 25. So from the images, the captioned images at the end, these two individuals, the Russian communist, quote-unquote, Nikita Khrushchev, and the American capitalist, quote-unquote, Cyrus Eaton, are supposedly mortal enemies, yet they are smiling because American and European capitalists, quote unquote, have been selling Russia's strategic goods since about 1920. One researcher has written, "There's no such thing as Soviet technology. Almost all, perhaps 90 to 95%, came directly or indirectly from the United States and its allies." What was the thing that I saw today in an email, speaking of that? One of the the little images about, yeah, speaking of the Daily Signal, Ukraine's Soviet era space program boosts a U.S. commercial spaceflight company's chances for liftoff, sets Space Electric Thruster Systems. For Firefly's Soviet space program veterans who form the backbone of its burgeoning operations in Ukraine, working for an American commercial spaceflight company would be unimaginable during the Soviet era, when Ukraine's space program was a state secret of the highest order. It's all a put-up job. Anyway. And then the adjacent page, 297 of Ralph Epperson's The Unseen Hand. James Roosevelt, right. Son of former President Franklin Roosevelt and George Racy Jordan. Remember George Racy Jordan? Below, an expediting officer for Lend-Lease Supplies, remember Lend-Lease, to Russia during World War II, have both written books alleging that President Roosevelt sent Russia the plans and materials to build an atomic bomb in 1943 and 44. Final image we'll talk about on the following page, 298. We'll talk about that when we come back. Stick around. More right after this break.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Welcome back. Last entry. There are a lot of captioned photos in chapter 25 of Ralph Epperson's The Unseen Hand. The final photo and caption of chapter 25, page 298. Jerry Rubin left, one of the leading revolutionaries during the turbulent 1960s, admitted that some wealthy Americans were controlling the anti-government movement of which he was a part. He wrote, quote, "The hip capitalists have some allies within the revolutionary community. Long hairs who work as intermediaries between the kids on the street and the millionaire businessmen. John Dewey, Wright, the, quote, father of progressive education, end quote, and about whom it is said, quote, no individual has influenced the thinking of American educators more, was a leading American atheist. He wrote, quote, there is no God and no soul. Hence, there are no needs for the props of traditional religion. With dogma and creed excluded, then immutable, unchangeable, truth is also dead and buried. There is no room for fixed natural law or permanent moral absolutes. And can you see how now we've sort of come to the realization of those ideals and to our peril and that of our posterity. So it's interesting. Jerry Rubin admits that there is a collusive effort. And when I think of the long hairs who work as intermediaries between the kids on the street and the millionaire businessmen. Today it's billionaires. Today it's, you know, folks like George Soros, for example. The Albert Hakim archetype, if you will. Basically a point person who is dirty, who will never say anything because they're dirty and they'd be compromised or, you know, dispatched if they ever tried to say anything. And why would they anyway? Because, hey, you know, I'm a rock star. I look like a billionaire, even though I'm just a laundering front. That's to me what the Zek represents, George Soros. So, you know, this is the point here is that this is an age-old recipe. These are old concepts. They are not terribly brilliant. The only reason I think they're effective is because the general public doesn't realize what's going on. I mean, the plain fact is Trevor Aronson said, for example, after years of research, I've come to the conclusion that the FBI is better at creating terrorists than they are at catching them. That sounds shocking, but in recent months, we have been confronted with the unsettling reality that, I mean, who can say that the highest levels of the FBI are not corrupt? You know? The whole thing is sick from head to foot, basically. And people will say, well, you know, there are, as the story goes, there are good men and women trying to do a good thing. And sure, conscripted to evil, like so many other people. And were it not for the FBI, so many of these problems that the FBI has been essential in creating would not exist. Remember, again, the Yahoo story. Yahoo's the hack, right? And the headline behind the hack on Yahoo, Russian agents who had been courted by the FBI. And that's just one story of many. Let's not forget that COINTELPRO never went away. It just went underground. Stick around, second hour coming up. We'll be right back after this short break.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AR Outfitting.com.